I've got actor, director and musician John Sim on the line. DSU Grace is back, a series based on Peter James's best-selling novels. John, for those who don't know the stories, can you give us a bit of a summary of what they're all about?
Well, they are based on Peter James' best-selling novels, as you said, that have been quite a success over the years. They've been done for many years. And we've just brought them to the screen. And I play Detective Superintendent Roy Grace, who is a genuinely good guy, very good at his job, great detective. And you find out in the first episode, in series one, that the only case he's failed to crack is the disappearance of his wife, Sandy, who went missing, we're up to 10 years ago now. And he, when we find him in this series, he has her legally declared dead because he's with somebody else, he's trying to move on with his life, but there's always that spectre hanging over him. And at the end of the last one, there was a sighting of her in Germany. And he chases that up, and it seems to have been a false alarm, but you see her. It cuts to her in Germany, so she is alive, and he doesn't know that.
Wow.
But every episode is a standalone episode, and they're all, you know, cases based on these novels. So you basically get like a whole novel in this feature length episode. So you can just dip in, but if you started it from the beginning and you're with like the main characters, you obviously see their private lives and stuff like that, and you can invest in them more obviously because you know, you spend more time with them. But yeah, that's basically it. And it's set in Brighton. He's cleaning up the mean streets of Brighton.
I mean, there's so many of the books. It looks like you've got a job for life there, John.
Fingers crossed, Craig. Fingers crossed.
Well, it's already been announced that there'll be a fourth season. Well, what is it about Roy that you've enjoyed playing so much?
Well, it's nice to sort of to play. I mean, usually, I mean, you know, I've been doing it a very long time now, 30-odd years. I play the, you know, conflicted characters, to say the least. You know, there's always some kind of edge, anti-hero kind of vibe about them. So it is actually refreshing to play a guy without that edge, really, without that, you know, darkness in his past or whatever, apart from the, you know, the missing wife scenario. He is just genuinely a good cop. He's a good guy. He's devoted to his job. And we think that's probably why she left. And you see that the marriage wasn't quite as rosy as you would be led to believe by him. And there's a reason why she left. But it's just nice playing him. It's just it's a nice role to play. And because I've read the books and I sort of did my homework, and, you know, all I can do is try and bring Peter's novels and this character to the screen and hope that we don't mess it up, because the storylines are there. Obviously, they're, you know, brilliant storylines because they're best-selling novels. So they're thrillers, really. And it's good. I think people like the detective shows because you, as an audience, get to join the dots, and, you know, they're quite complex plots sometimes. They're fun to try and work out who'd done it. And it's always nice to catch the baddies.
You've had an amazing career. I mean, Life on Mars, Exile, Doctor Who, Strangers, now Grace. I mean, it could have all been very, very different, though, couldn't it? You could have actually been a musician, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, you know, music was my first love. That's the way you go. I mean, I was a musician from 13. My dad was a club artist. He was a guitarist.
You used to play with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to do the clubs from when I was really young, like 9. I used to get up and sing Wooden Heart by Elvis. And they used to love it. And then obviously my voice broke, and he was like, well, what are you going to do now? So he taught me the guitar quite early on. And back in them days, there was no like YouTube or anything like that. So we became quite good. We got quite big on the clubland circuit. We played every weekend, every Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. We were booked solid for years and years. And I didn't tell anybody at school that I was doing it. So it was a complete secret, really, because I don't know if I was a bit embarrassed or what, but I never mentioned it. And we did it for years, yeah. And he, like I said, before YouTube and stuff, he would bring in a record and say, we're going to play this on Saturday, so learn it. and it was usually fine, you know, so I had to work out the chords and stuff. And but it, unless it was something like Sultans of Swing, you know, like Dire Straits, you've got to learn the guitar solo by Friday. And so that's how we used to do it. And we did covers, you know, covers of old rock and roll and Beatles and The Shadows and all those. And yeah, it was great until I became like 18, 19, and I decided that I wanted to be an actor. It kind of broke his heart a bit and just left and went to drama school. Yeah, but I ended up scratching that itch in the 90s because I was in a band.
Magic Alex. Tell us about Magic Alex now. Come on. You did an album, well, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we released one album. And we went on tour with Echo and the Bunnymen a few times on these tours. I played with Ian McCulloch in his solo band, and we supported Coldplay, and I played on one of his albums. I played guitar. I'm still doing it. You know, I've got a little studio at the end of the garden, and, you know, it is my love. I love music, and you're right. In a different alternative universe, I definitely would have just been in a band, yeah.
We're going to talk about alternative universes in a minute from another one of your famous shows. But first, pick a tune for us. What tune should we play the Six Music audience that's turning you on at the moment?
Oh, what's turning me on at the moment? I've been listening to some early stuff, actually. I've been listening to, obviously, go out to the Beatles. And there's a reissue of a John Lee Hooker album called Burning.
Oh, brilliant album.
Fantastic album. So I've been obsessed with that, because of anything off that.
Okay, so this is John Lee Hooker with I Got a Letter. That was John Lee Hooker with I Got a Letter, chosen by my guest, John Sim. You were talking about the Beatles there. Magic Alex, wasn't that named after the Beatles engineer? Sorry for being an anorak.
No, it's true. You're absolutely bang on. That's why we called Magic Alex. He was this crazy Scandinavian guy that they got in. I said crazy, and that was a bit, yeah, maybe he wasn't crazy, but he was eccentric, should I put it that way. And they were friends with him, and he like built this studio, and he put loads of tiny speakers all around the studio. He was like an inventor. And in Get Back, the greatest piece of television in history.
It is the best music documentary I've ever seen. I've seen it about six, seven times, and it's dead long, but I just go home and relax to it.
Yeah, me too. It's like a comfort blanket, isn't it?
It is.
I miss being in the room with them because you're in there for so long. And then you'll suddenly get a moment where he plays them Let It Be for the first time. It's just like, it's like watching Michelangelo, you know, paint the Sistine Chapel. It's just like you're watching this art.
It's weird happening. Watching an album getting written in front of your very eyes and listening to
it's
it, you know.
Extraordinary.
Where they haven't got the lyrics, and I'll fill that in later on in the Time and Eggs, you know, and they're just making it up so it's got the right scan.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I am obsessed with them. I mean, when that came out, I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's extraordinary, because I would think I've got to 52 years old. I would have thought the anthology in the 90s would have been the you know, and they released Free as a Bird, and I thought, well, that's bound to be it. But it's still coming. You know, we're still finding stuff, and yeah, they're amazing.
Well, I love hearing your passion for music. Are you this passionate about acting?
Sometimes, you know, it's the job, isn't it? It's the day job. It's become the norm now. I don't get nervous or anything like that, unless I'm doing a play. I mean, like I do Hamlet or Macbeth or some massive play, I'll get nervous. Yeah, really nervous. But I love doing theatre. But the longer you leave it, the more terrifying it is. You know, live theatre, and it's been a few years now. So, I mean, you honestly feel like you're gonna have a heart attack before you go on, and you think, why do I do this to myself? Why am I doing this? But there's something about being on stage that I prefer being on stage acting than I do when I was in the band. And I was like that with my dad. I used to just stare at the floor, because I'm not very good when I'm not pretending to be somebody else. So I'd hide behind my guitar and stare at the neck while I was playing, and, you know, not a massive stage presence. I'm not Jimmy Page. I'm not, you know, down on my knees. And I do find it easier acting, but yeah, it's been, I've done it for so long. I love my job. I love being an actor. I wouldn't change it for the world. And so when I'm working on something, I dedicate myself to it. I work really hard on it, and everything else goes by the wayside, really.
I've got to ask about life on Mars. Any updates on the sequel, Lazarus?
All I can say really is that we had a script and we read it, me and Phil Glenister, and Matthew Graham and Ashley Farrow, who the creators of Life on Mars, they sent us this script and we thought, ooh, really, really? You know, they're going to mess with this? And it was great. And we thought, wow, that will work. That is really good. It brings it right up to date. It's like all flashback, going back in time again. Lots of really cool car chases and stuff. And it is now in the hands of a production company, a developer. Someone's snapped it up, but they snapped it up ages ago. And you know yourself, man, these things, they take so long.
They can take forever,
and,
mate.
And forever. And so it is now somewhere in the ether, disappeared in some development place. And I don't know when it's ever, or if it will ever happen. But, you know, we're all hopeful. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, they're all Bowie titles, aren't they? So if Lazarus is really late on, so it must be sort of, it must be right up to date, the script.
Yeah, yeah. Lazarus raising from the dead. So it is bang up to date. But like I say, it was a couple of years ago now, so he's going to have to make it even more up to date, you know, and sort of rewrite it a little bit, I guess. But we shall see. I don't know any more than that, really.
What's next for you?
Well, I can't see much further than Grace at the minute. We're about to start filming four more standalone films. So there's four in the next series. Hopefully, we'll do four more next year. And at some point, we're going to catch up with Peter James. So he needs to keep cracking these books out.
Yeah, hurry up, Peter.
So, yeah. So that's all I can think of at the minute. I'm gearing up. We start filming in the next few weeks, and we're off again.
Listen, mate, it's great catching up with you, John.
All right, man. Thank you. Thanks so much. And listen, man, I'm loving the show. I listen to it every day if I can. At some point, I'll stick it on. It's great.
Cheers, mate.
Nice one, Craig. Bye, bye, bye.